Sports.com.
This is Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge, your hometown voice. And now your host, the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith.
I am the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith, and this is Rogue Talk for March 29th, 2019, and I am so glad to be back behind the microphone. We missed last week. I was headed to Coos Bay to cover Chieftain baseball and got about 10 minutes from the field when I got a text message saying the games were canceled due to the weather. And turned around and drove all the way back. So I was a little disappointed, not just because we didn't get to play baseball, but also because I didn't get to do Rogue Talk. But we are back here today. And you can call the show if you would like. And I'll give the number out again a little later. You can call at 541-299-0498. 541-299-0498. Or you can email. That should go to feedback@943thebridge.com. And if you put Rogue Talk in the subject line, those will come right to me. That's, again, feedback@943thebridge.com. And finally, we would love if you would follow us on Facebook. Just look for Rogue Talk on Facebook. You will see my ugly mug, and you can like us and follow us there. We post all of the links to the episodes as they go up so that you can get those. And we also promote a few things here and there based on what's going on. In fact, we're going to be talking to one of our baseball coaches here for our junior high team. And I know some of you are going, junior high team? Well, that's why he's here. We're going to talk about that. But, you know, if he's got something he wants to promote for the team, maybe they're doing a fundraiser or maybe they got an upcoming game, I'm more than happy to do that on the Facebook page as well. So watch for those updates as well. If you follow that Facebook page, you'll get those updates. So as I mentioned, our interview today will be with one of our coaches. He's not the head coach, but he's definitely very excited about this team we've got. It's a junior high baseball team, and that is Justin Stillwagner, and he's going to be joining me in the next segment. So I'm looking forward to that conversation. So let's take a look at what's going on in the news and in the sports. Of course, you can't avoid probably one of the biggest things that's happened in the news in the last week. And of course, I wasn't on the air last week when this was breaking, but the Mueller report came out, and of course, the report gets turned over to the AG, the Attorney General, and Bill Barr. I believe on Saturday he gave his initial report showing there was no evidence at all that the Trump campaign or his administration in any way was involved with Russian interference in our elections. And so that was good news. And I know some of my Democrat friends would say, no, that's not good news. But it's good news. It's good news for the country. We don't want our president in some sort of a scandal like this. And the fact that the evidence says that nothing happened, that's good news for the country. Whether you can't stand, you know, if you're on board with Orange Man bad, I get it. I can understand why you might not like President Trump, but it's never good for the country to have some sort of scandal happen. So that was good news. The other good news that came out of that is, despite all of the media spin, there is also no evidence of obstruction of justice. In fact, the president even mentioned this week he made certain decisions because he didn't want to in any way obstruct or even give the appearance of obstructing justice. And I know a lot of you are out there going, he fired the FBI director. Yeah, that didn't stop the investigation. And let's be honest, every single Democrat in the country wanted the FBI director fired up until Trump fired him. So, you know, they were all blamed him for Hillary Clinton losing the election, and he may have played a part in Hillary losing the election. So, you know, let's be honest with ourselves. Everybody wanted him out until Trump actually fired him. So good news for the president, and again, good news for the country. You know, and now, you know, and what this is leading to, unfortunately, though, is there really was some scandal that's coming out of this, and it has nothing to do with Russian collusion. What it has to do with is a lot of malfeasance by not only the FBI and the Justice Department, and the Justice Department being the Obama Justice Department. And again, I'm not making it political, but those are the facts of the matter. They had spies within the Trump campaign. They obtained FISA warrants illegally because they didn't have the evidence to back up those warrants. There's a lot of stuff's been going on. I've been following it for almost the entire 2 years that it's been going on. But, you know, a lot of people don't hear the other side of what was happening. And you can almost put money on it that there's going to be another special counsel appointed. It won't be Robert Mueller, but they will be looking into a lot of malfeasance that went into that entire investigation, and all of the improper things that they did to do that. So, you know, again, it's kind of a good and a bad this with that news this week. Again, we don't need that kind of bad thing happening. So we're happy that Trump wasn't involved with Russian collusion. But I'm afraid there's another big investigation coming, and it's not made up stuff. There's a lot of facts already behind this next investigation. So it's, again, bad news for the country because it could be a pretty big scandal. I think it is, but we'll wait and see what comes out of that. So that's it for that part of the national news. There was another couple of stories that got tied together by a person. They're completely unrelated stories, but they're tied together by one individual, and that would be the Hollywood attorney and CNN contributor Mark Garagos. He was one of the lawyers for Jussie Smollett, who magically his charges were dropped this week. There's a lot of interesting connections to that case, including the Obamas, unfortunately. Michelle Obama's former chief of staff is involved in getting those charges dropped. There's some interesting connections. But the reason that Garagos is an interesting connection, because while he was celebrating the success of getting his client, Jussie Smollett, all of his charges dropped, he was also being implicated in another scandal, and that would be the scandal of a creepy porn lawyer, Michael Avenatti, who has been accused of trying to extort Nike. And Michael Garagos was named as a co-conspirator in that. Now, we don't know what's going to come out of that. But so I just found it interesting that that somebody that has represented some of the country's finest, you know, people like I don't know, there was the singer Chris Brown, who beat up his girlfriend Rihanna and pleaded guilty to that. That was one of his clients. Wife killer Scott Peterson was another one of his clients. So, you know, this guy's a top-notch lawyer. He's usually representing scumbags, but he's a top-notch lawyer, and he's right in the middle of the mess right now. So I just found that interesting and kind of amusing in a way. But so let's get away from all of the crazy garbage going on with the national news, and let's get to some of the more important things going on. And right at the head of that's got to be Rogue River FFA program went to the state convention, and I've got a whole page of accolades to get to you here. And we're going to lead off with the son of my guest sitting here in front of me, Wyatt Stillwagner, was second in beginning public speaking. Gabe Tambellini received his Oregon FFA state degree. John Wynn Ayers, who's going to come up a lot in the rest of this first segment, she was second in sophomore public speaking. Alyssa Wolf was bronze in the advanced portfolio. And now to the AgriScience Fair Division placings. Danny Herrings and Greg Smith were first. Sam Williams and Cassidy Hager were first. Diana Weilbacher was first. Anna Howard was first. Savannah Stillwagner was first. Talon Fricke was second. Gabe Tambellini and Brandon Gordon were second as well. And Gabe Tambellini's name's coming up a lot because he also is headed to the Nationals with a first place finish in, I always struggle with this one, and I'm sure Mike in the truck will laugh because I struggle every time. Extemporaneous public speaking. I always have to sound it out. I don't know why I can't say that word, but apparently you have to know how to say that word to compete in that competition. It's probably the first thing you have to learn. So Gabe is headed to the Nationals. Skylar Andrews was second in the co-op quiz. Laura Howard won fruit production proficiency and earned the H.H. Gibson Scholarship. Andy Herrings earned his wildlife management proficiency. And finally, Anna Howard was first place in the photography contest, and Madison McCown was second place in the essay contest. And if I missed anybody, I apologize. Email me. I will talk about you next week, but I think I got all the ones I could find. So huge congratulations to our FFA program. You guys are amazing. You continue to impress all of us, not only here at the Bridge, but all around Rogue River. You guys are just been fabulous. So let's get over to the sports as I'm pushing this segment farther and farther. But you kids do so good, I just have to make the segment longer. So I'm pretty proud of all of you. The golf team, they've had a couple of events since I was on the air last. At Cougar Canyon on March 15th, Evan Mingerhausen with a 92, Ethan Walton with a 141, and Samantha Peterson with a 134. Then they went over to Centennial on March 20th, and that was a scramble format. And without explaining exactly how it works, which I actually couldn't do because I wasn't there, there's no set rules for a scramble. They can make it kind of how they want to make it. But the essence of it is you play as a team of two, and you both tee off, and you play the best ball each time. Each time you hit, you play the best ball. So the scores are tend to be a little better than they would have been playing by yourself. But anyhow, so that's essentially how that works. Evan Mingerhausen with Ethan Walton teamed up for a 90 over 18 holes. Jake Richards teamed up with Kyle Cloninger from Klamath Union, and they had a 45 over 9 holes. And Samantha Peterson teamed up with Cassidy Davis and had a 46 over 9 holes. And Samantha Peterson also won the closest to the pin competition. She got within 18 feet 7 inches on the 17th green. So congratulations to the golf team. And we will get the upcoming schedule at the end of the show. All the teams have got events coming up. And so let's take a look at track and field, and this one I'm going to run through these kind of fast, but we're going to get to them. I want to make sure we hit all of these names. They went to the Brookings Harbor Icebreaker. That was on March 19th, and let's just run through the events. In the 100 meter boys, Josiah Purrier was tied for third, Aiden Norris was fifth, and Diego Agosto was 12th. On the girls' side, John Wynn Ayers was second, and Erica Hansen was ninth. 200 meters, Diego Agosto 10th, Josiah Purrier 15th, John Wynn Ayers on the girls' side was 5th. 400, no girls in the 400. The boys, Grant Fehrenbacher was 6th, and Davey, I'm going to struggle with your last name. Shashanik? Davey, I'm going to find out how to pronounce that, and I'll fix that next week. But he was 18th in the 400. Then to the 800. On the girls' side, Madison Bless was second. And on the boys' side, Jonah Maris was 12th. Jonah Maris also competed in the 1500, and he was 11th. In the 3000, Hunter Jordan was 6th. No girls in the 15 or the 3000. And also no Rogue Talk mascot. Cameron Smith has been had a knee injury. He's been training this week, so he hopes to compete in the next meet. 100 hurdles, Erica Hansen was 9th, and Davey was 42nd in the discus. Josh Watson was 31st in shot. Josh Watson was also 27th in javelin. And on the girls' side in javelin, Crystal McLaughlin was 14th. Grant Fehrenbacher was 8th in the pole vault. John Wynn Ayers tied for fourth in pole vault. And the long jump was all girls. No boys competed this time. John Wynn Ayers was fifth. Erica Hansen, sixth. Lila Braga was 11th. Crystal McLaughlin was 17th. And Amy Barnwell was 18th. And finally, our lone champion from that meet, Aiden Norris, with a first place in the triple jump. And so good job to the track team. And let's quickly get the latest from baseball and softball. Baseball team is 1-0 in the league, 1-3 on the season. They're ranked 33rd in the state. And they're coming off of a couple of losses, a doubleheader on Tuesday against Cascade Christian. And the softball team, 1-0 in the conference, 3-0 overall. They are 10th ranked in the state for the 2A. And their latest, their most recent game was a win over IV right here on 94.3 The Bridge, 15-5 in a six inning game. And again, we'll get the upcoming schedule at the end of the show. So that's all I got for you for this first segment. We will take a break, and when we come back, we will talk to junior high baseball coach Justin Stillwagner. We will be right back.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. President Trump says he'll close the nation's southern border or large sections of it next week if Mexico does not immediately stop illegal immigration. And he warned reporters, "I am not kidding around." Two senior German officials see little chance of reviving Britain's treaty with the European Union to withdraw from the bloc after it was again rejected by the UK Parliament. Manfred Weber, a European lawmaker and center-right candidate to head the European Commission, said that the treaty is off the table. Justice Minister Katharina Barley, the center-left Social Democrats' top candidate for upcoming European elections, says everything points to a hard Brexit without a deal. On Wall Street, a good day. The arrows were up. The Dow rose 211 points to 25,928. The NASDAQ rose 60. The S&P advanced 19. Oil up to $60.14 a barrel. This is SRN News.
This is meteorologist Dan Holliday with 94.3 The Bridge. Don't forget to catch Rogue River weather forecast on our website, 94.3thebridge.com.
With SRN Sports, I'm Michael Harrington. Let's start with the NCAA basketball tournament. The number one and number three seeds are going to the title game of the West Regional.
Gonzaga and Texas Tech both advanced to the Elite Eight after winning their West Regional matchups. Rui Hachimura scored 17 points to lead the top-seeded Bulldogs to a 72-58 win over Florida State, closing the game on a 12-2 run after the Seminoles got within four. The Red Raiders move on with a win over Michigan, 63-44, holding the Wolverines to a season low in points on 1-for-19 shooting from downtown. Jared Culver scored 22 for Tech in the win. Mark Myers, Anaheim.
Elsewhere, number one seed Virginia reached its second regional final in 4 years with a 53-49 victory over number 12 Oregon. And third seed Purdue is in the South regional final after outlasting second seed Tennessee in overtime. This is SRN Sports. Baseball returned yesterday in the American League. The Yankees beat the Orioles 7-2, Tigers 2, Blue Jays nothing in 10 innings. It was Houston over Tampa Bay by a 5-1 score. A's 4, Angels nothing. The Twins beat the Indians 2-0. Kansas City 5, White Sox 3. And it was the Mariners clobbering Boston 12-4. In the National League, Mets 2, Nationals zip. It was Milwaukee over the Cardinals 5-4. Phillies 10, Atlanta 4. The Dodgers beat Arizona 12-5. Colorado topped Miami 6-3, while the Reds beat the Pirates 5-3. Padres 2, Giants nothing. Interleague play, the Cubs over Texas 12-4. In the NBA yesterday, it was the Pistons beating Orlando 115-98, Sixers 123, and Brooklyn 110. Toronto beat the Knicks 117-92, Miami 105, the Mavericks 99, Bucks over the Clippers 128-118. This is SRN Sports.
Welcome back to Rogue Talk, and I've caught my breath now, I think, from all of those fabulous results from all the kids at the high school doing great things, the FFA and the sports. And we've got a guest in the studio that's pretty excited about promoting something that I don't think a lot of you know about. Joining me in the studio is Justin Stillwagner, and we already heard about a couple of his kids doing pretty good things for the FFA program, but he's here to talk about junior high baseball. Welcome to Rogue Talk, Justin.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm happy to have you here and to promote this program. I don't think a lot of people know that we have a junior high baseball team. I kind of knew, sort of, but I didn't know quite what was going on. But I've seen you guys practicing over by the softball fields, and I didn't really know what was going on, and you contacted me, and so now I do know. So tell us about your team and how it got started.
Basically, you have a group of 7th and 8th graders that are wanting to play baseball, and not much has been offered to them to be able to do that. The head coach, Perry Garwood, kind of headed this whole thing off, and we just took the steps to make it happen.
Okay. Now, there's no affiliation with the school, is what I understand, but you're playing in a school league, so tell us about the league that you're in and how you got to be a part of that league.
There's a meeting that was put together, and we had inquired about the league and basically just took the right step so that we could be a part of the league and raise a little bit of money to be able to do it. And it all came together just right.
Excellent. And it looks like some of the teams involved, you've got Phoenix, Hidden Valley, Eagle Point, Henley, Cascade. I mean, you're playing at St. Mary's. You're playing against some bigger schools there. And before we kind of learn about who's on the team and how many kids you got on the team, we were talking off air. You guys got a big victory recently. Tell us about that real quick.
Oh, that was a real good game. We had a game put together with Crater, and it was at their field over there. And basically just went out and played some baseball and ended up with a win 9-7.
Perfect. Perfect. So tell me, how many kids do you have on that team? Because I've seen you practicing, and I think one of the days I only counted 7 kids. So I was like, you're a couple guys short.
So, yeah, there's a couple that missed out that day, but we're up to 13 kids now.
Excellent.
And
excellent.
A really great group of kids.
Good. Now, you mentioned the head coach was Perry Garwood.
Yes, sir.
And you're one of the assistants. Who else is assisting with that team?
Right now, it's just us two. Mm-hmm. We do have some help from the Little League. There's a coach of Little League there. He helps out a little bit as far as some guidance there.
And then running the team outside of coaching, I know you've got some other help, including your lovely wife sitting here who we couldn't get to pull the microphone up, but we're going to recognize her anyway. Anyhow, that's Christina, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, she. We tried to coax her into pulling the microphone down, but no such luck. But is there anyone else that we could recognize that's been helping out with the team?
I mean, the parents of the kids, they're sure. Very supportive.
Sure, absolutely.
You know, there's not much support.
Yeah, and it's a new team, and it's interesting to me, and we won't get into the politics of this, but it's interesting to me that we haven't had a junior high baseball program up to this point. I coached middle school basketball years ago, and we've always had, you know, middle school or junior high basketball, and volleyball, of course, has always had a team. And so it's surprising in a place where Little League is fairly popular that we haven't had a junior high baseball team. So I want to salute you for putting this together, because it's not school affiliated. I mean, it is that it's a school league, but it's not organized through the school in any way. So you guys have had to do all the legwork for that. And now you've had some help from some sponsors, and yep. but we're definitely looking for more support, not only community support, but sponsors to help keep this program afloat. Tell us about the sponsors you have, and tell us how other businesses might be able to get involved.
All right. I will mention that I have had some help from the high school kids that play high school baseball.
Oh, okay,
yeah,
good.
There's
good.
3 or 4 of them that have showed up to the games and, you know, stepped out on the field and help assist the kids in coaching. And this is my first year of coaching. Never coached baseball before ever. And so it's a learning curve for me as well.
I've never done radio before ever either. So, you know, you might be doing better at baseball coaching.
I feel like I'm doing all right.
Good, good.
So
what sponsors do we have right now, and how can other businesses get involved?
Well, right now we have Evergreen Bank. They're our main sponsor, and that's one reason why we have the colors of green and white. And, you know, they're on our jersey. They were the first ones to step up. I reached out to some personal friends of mine that were immediately had no problem wanting to donate some money and help. Main Building Supply right here in town, they were all about helping us, stepped up. They actually helped get a batting cage put together for us. So that's pretty cool. These kids really need some equipment and stuff. So
yeah. Yeah.
You know, as far as being able to come donate and or help support it, I mean, showing up for the games, you know, we've established a website, rroutcastbaseball.com, that you could go to and donate.
So I'm gonna write that one down. I'll post that on the website so that people can find it there. It's rroutcasts with an S.
Yes, sir.
Baseball.
.com.
Okay. And so the name of the team is the Outcasts. You were telling me kind of a nice story about that. The kids kind of decided to pick the name. You had one idea, and the kids decided to vote, and they picked the Outcasts.
Oh, it was the coolest thing. I talked to the kids. I actually gave them a little bit of heads up. You know, while you were going through the day, think of a couple names you want to throw out that we could come up with a good name for the team. And there was all kinds of different names, and there was one kid in particular that he just shouted out Outcast, and the kids were just so excited. It was a unanimous decision that's what the team name would be.
That's perfect. And I love
fitting.
It is, and I love when the kids get involved and they kind of take the lead on that, so that's great. So you've got Evergreen, you've got Main Building, and what are some of the expenses I don't think people always realize how many expenses there are with you know, running a baseball team. What are some of the things that you're having to pay for that you need the help with? I mean, obviously, you know, you buy bats and balls, and you gotta have uniforms, and you know, you've had some sponsorship to help with that. How do you pay for like your share of the umpiring, for instance? Do you have to pay that fee too? I would imagine the league probably charges you for that.
Yes, sir.
There's probably some field use fees maybe along the way. I don't know. I've never had to do this, but you know, I want to make sure people understand there's a lot of costs involved. You know, it's hard for me to explain it with our radio station, you know, with being a nonprofit radio station, and nobody here is actually paid, but it's hard to explain to people that it's still very expensive to run a radio station,
right,
even when you don't have employees. So what are the things that you're needing funding for that, you know, that maybe you've got some, but you need more? You know, is it bats and balls, or what?
It's all of it. There's literally, we started with nothing. And, you know, we've safety equipment, uniforms, insurance.
Oh, yeah.
The umpire fees, that's a pretty hefty one.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's important to have, you know, the right umpires for the games. That way there's no bias on any way. It's always been an issue as far as just being through Little League. And,
yeah.
You know, so we want it to be as fair and equal as possible for every team.
Absolutely. And I didn't think of insurance. That's an important one for sure.
Yes.
And, well, and safety equipment. I was a catcher when I played baseball. In fact, I was talking to Hunter, the intern here, a little earlier. We were looking at, you know, Major League Baseball opened their season this week, and or yesterday, really. And a friend of mine a guy I went to school with is one of the coaches for the Orioles. And I remember years ago playing Little League, and he was a catcher for the team, and I just had joined the team, and the coach decided to make me the backup catcher. So I learned to catch from a guy that's played in the majors. He didn't have a long major league career, had a long minor league career, but he got a few call-ups to the majors. So I can say I caught behind a major league catcher. That's pretty cool. I wasn't anywhere near as good as he was, but at least I can say that. But anyhow, he's a coach now. I think he's a He's the catcher and field coordinator coach for the Baltimore Orioles. So
that's awesome.
A little shout out to Tim Cousins, but yeah, I mean, safety equipment, obviously you want, you know, your, you know, the best gear you can get for your catchers and the, you know, helmets for the batters and all of that stuff. You know, the kids supply their own gloves, but that's about it. You got to supply all the rest.
That's right. And, yeah, full uniforms, you know, bats, balls, just like you said, you know, all the catcher's gear, just little things to help them. You have the right tools for the job. It makes it that easier, and it improves your skills.
Okay. And I've got your schedule in front of me here, and I'm going to snap a picture of this, and I will post this on our Facebook page so that everyone can see it. But are you playing your home games on the baseball field at the high school, or where are those games being played?
Yes, sir. We are able to play there at the high school, and that's where all our home games will be held at.
Okay, because I want everybody to know that, so when they see the schedule, they know where to show up.
Yep.
And are most of these other games also played on the high school field? So if you're at Phoenix, you're playing on their high school field, and or at St. Mary's. St. Mary's, I know they've got their field. Cascade plays a lot of games over at U.S. Cellular, so I'm assuming Cascade games will probably be over there.
I know they change from time to time. Sometimes they have to readjust it.
But. Well, we'll put the website up as well. You have the website, so you can maybe get updates from the website. Your lovely wife shaking her head. I'm assuming I know who runs the website then.
I tell you what, she's been a major asset to this whole program getting started and moving forward, for sure.
Yeah. Well, and from reading those FFA results, it sounds like you guys are doing something right. Those kids are doing pretty good. So, so is there anything I'm missing? I want to make sure we get everything out there. We're really looking for sponsors. We want this program to be a success, you know, and we want these kids to learn to play ball the right way.
That's right.
So when they get to the high school, they're ready to go, because, you know, too many times with our high school teams, and it's not just baseball, you know, we're having to teach kids to play a sport they've never played before, and it works pretty good if you've got someone like a Destiny Rangel, who can play any sport. It seems like she's tried new sports and she excels at almost everyone she tries, but not every kid is like that. Some, you know, these are sports that you play for years and years. Yep. To get good at. And so you know, I'm excited to hear about the program. I'd seen you guys practicing, but I didn't really know what was going on. And you know, I'm thrilled that we have this program. And I think if we get more exposure, more people knowing about it, that maybe the support will start coming from other areas where it needs to come from.
Yeah.
So. If there's anything,
I will say that these group of kids that we have here, they can play some baseball.
Yeah,
they put their heads together. They play great baseball.
Well, and you know, a big part of baseball, of course, is the pitching. And so, what's it looking like? Are you guys looking pretty good from the mound? Because that's always the biggest struggle. It seemed like in my playing days, I pitched 2/3 of an inning once, and that was all they would let me near the mound. So how's your pitching looking?
I think we're doing great. We have a few kids that are, they have a different pitching style, but every one of them, they step up and they handle their business. And, I mean, as it showed with our win against Crater, you know, our pitcher, Jeff, he's amazing. He's a great pitcher. And, a couple kids behind him there, and it's cool because every kid that, you know, has their own different level of, one does first base really well, the other one, you know, second base, but they're so skilled that with the proper coaching and training, they can be great at every position.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's nice to have guys that can play multiple positions, but the thing I found coaching basketball, if I could, you know, and I coach girls, but if I could take a girl and, say, teach her to play defense in the post and teach her to do that really well, I didn't need her to score points at the other end. I just needed her to do that one job.
That's right.
And you find the skill, you pick the skill that the thing they're best at, and you match it to a position. You know, if they're good at fielding ground balls, you put them at shortstop, you put them at second. Well, there you go.
Yeah, she's really good. She plays second base, and she's a hard charger.
Yeah. Well, I hope the other kids that have played have been kickers on the football team don't get mad at me. But one of the best kickers we've had in the recent years was a girl. She was Brittany Coulter was one of the best punters I had seen on our team. In fact, there was an interesting play that season where she got off one of the best punts that I'd seen her kick all year. There was a penalty called on the play. It was a 5-yard penalty in favor of our team, but it wasn't going to give us enough for a first down. And we took the penalty. She had to punt again. The punt got blocked, and we gave up a touchdown. But it's kind of a funny story. But having said that, she was the place kicker and the punter that year and was fabulous. And so, yeah, I mean, if you find the skill that the kid has, boy or girl, and put them in the right position, they're going to excel.
That's
so
right.
So it sounds like you're putting people in the position where they fit the best. And
you know, Perry, the head coach, Perry Garwood, you know, he has a lot to do with that. He's been coaching baseball for many years. I know he's been around here for about 30 years in the sports, and he has a good eye for that, so he's able to set up the team so that we play like a well-oiled machine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, if you beat Crater the other day, you don't do that by accident. So that's good news.
It was awesome to watch him just sit and go out there and have fun and play baseball.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, we've had a couple interviews with Coach Motsuk from the varsity team, and he comes from the Crater program, and that's one of the things that I mentioned in one of those interviews is, you know, Crater is kind of the Oregon State of high school baseball in Oregon. I mean, they're just a perennial favorite. You know, they're always right up there with the best teams in the state. And so, yeah, I mean,
They brought an A game. They played some baseball.
So that's a convincing win, and I'm glad to hear it. So,
it was a real good morale booster for the kids for sure.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. And, that's, I mean, it's fun. That's what makes, you know, playing sports it's fun in itself, but when you're winning, it's even more fun. And when you're beating a rival or a tough team that you're not sure that you should be beating, that's always good. You know, I know with the high school programs, every time we'd beat St. Mary's or Cascade, that was extra special. You know, you really wanted to beat those teams that were the ones that were stealing your athletes.
Yeah.
So, well, that's good news. So we've got the upcoming schedule coming up here. It looks like, if I knew what today's day was, the next game is Sunday. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Coming up Sunday at Eagle Point, and looks like you've got a doubleheader scheduled. So, you know, I would encourage people get out there. These kids are working hard, and they're obviously playing good baseball, and they could use the community support. And looks like a lot of the games are Sundays and Thursdays, so they've tried to shift them away from the high school schedule.
Yep.
Probably for one reason, so they have enough umpires available, but also so that, you know, families can get to these games and not just to the high school games. So game coming up this Sunday.
Yeah, 1:00.
And then they got almost a week off and play the following Saturday. So there is a few Saturdays mixed in, too, I see. I'm reading down. So a lot of Saturdays and Sundays, a couple Thursdays mixed in. But, again, I will post a picture of the schedule on the Facebook page, and I hope everybody can support it. So is there anything else we didn't cover that we needed to cover?
You know, I know on May 5th is the Cinco de Mayo weekend there, and we have a home game at the high school. And we really would love for a lot of people to come out to that. We're going to be serving street tacos.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, and just kind of make it a fun and exciting environment for everybody. And
so this will be a little bit of a fundraiser for you.
Yeah.
Now, do you have concessions at most of your games, or how's that going to
work? All
our
home games, we have our concession. We are basically, it's the Rogue River Junior High Baseball is doing the concession.
So this will all, everything from the concession will support your team. Okay,
yes.
Well,
that's
good.
That's one of the fundraisers that we have, you know, we started there. So,
But the Cinco de Mayo game is going to be street tacos, which sounds pretty good to me. And you've got a background in some restaurant work. Is that right? I thought you kind of said you had some kind of background there, or at least you have the equipment.
We got the right equipment.
There we go.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. I love feeding people.
Yeah.
So, and we've been doing it for a long time, my wife and I, and mostly at weddings and different things, you know, back where we came from. And we're able to use that to our advantage here and
excellent.
Make the best of it.
Well, that's a good use of your equipment, I think, for sure. And I would encourage people to get out to that. I mean, it's hard to say no to street tacos. I mean, that's one of my favorites. In fact, you know, Costco recently added some street tacos, and it's one of the, you know how there's certain things that you go and every time you have to buy, you know, some people it's the muffins, some people it might be trail mix. Lately, it's been street tacos, so I'm going to have to maybe sneak out there on Sunday on Cinco de Mayo and check that out. Not to mention, if you guys put a whipping on Cascade, I'm going to be pretty happy about that, too. We love beating the rivals. So, well, that's great. So, again, I'm talking to Justin Stillwagner. He's one of the coaches of our junior high baseball team. And again, I will post, when we post the show on the website, I will promote it on Facebook, and I will also post a copy of the schedule. And again, they're looking for sponsors, and they're looking for community support, and we would love to have you out there. And it's a great day to be talking about that. The Major League Baseball season kicked off yesterday. Of course, my Oakland A's were already 0-2 before the season started because they had to play in Japan against the Mariners. But they got a win yesterday, so they're going to inch their way back to 500. But the Mariners, if they win today, they'll have their best start since 1985, I think, because they're already 3-0. And
I'm an Indians fan myself.
Well, you might not have a too bad a team this season. There's a lot of guys moved around. Of course, the Phillies loaded up pretty good, and we're going to talk about that in the final segment. In fact, if you'd like to stay with us, Hunter's going to come on with me, and we can talk baseball a little more when we come back from the break. Sounds like you probably pay more attention than I do. I've been kind of away from Major League Baseball for a while, but I'm trying to get back into it and follow my A's and see how they do. You know, they made it to the playoff, the one game playoff last year, and got whipped by the Yankees. So, you know,
that's a hard team to beat.
Yeah, it is. But so we're going to take a break. I think we covered everything.
Yes, sir. And thank you very much. This means the world to the team, and just really could use some support from the community, and some outside sponsors would be really nice.
Yeah, well, and that's what we're here for. That's what this show is about. I want to promote the youth around the town and all the good things that they're doing. And so I'm more than happy to promote this. And again, let's get people excited about junior high baseball, because it sounds like we got a pretty good thing building here. So we're going to take a break, and if we can talk Justin into staying, we'll bring Hunter on, and we'll talk a little Major League Baseball when we come back.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. House Judiciary Committee Chairman Gerald Nadler says an April 2nd deadline still stands after Attorney General William Barr said he would deliver a redacted version of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's Russia report by mid-April. House Democrats threaten that they may subpoena the report if it's not delivered by next week. Nadler also says Democrats want to see the full report, not a redacted version. The captain of a hijacked oil tanker says migrants rioted when they learned they were being returned to Libya and forced him to turn north to Malta. Nader El-Hiblou says he feared he would be killed. Maltese armed forces eventually stormed the vessel and detained five men suspected of leading the hijacking, taking them away in handcuffs. On Wall Street, the Dow up by 211 points, the Nasdaq rose 60, the S&P advanced 19, oil up 84 cents to $60.14 a barrel. More details at srnnews.com.
You're on 94.3 The Bridge, radio that's worth listening to.
Oh, I wish there was a way to find out what events are going on in Rogue River.
There is.
There is?
Yeah, the website for 94.3 The Bridge.
They have Rogue River events on their website?
Yeah, for Gold Hill, Weimar, and Grants Pass, too. You can even submit your own event for everyone in town to see. And if it's on the website, they automatically talk about it on the radio, too.
That's awesome. What's the address to this site?
It's 943thebridge.com.
N-I-N...
No. Just type the numbers. 943thebridge.com.
Oh, 943thebridge.com. Hey, look, they have the latest local news on there, too.
They have everything on there. 943thebridge.com.
My savings are gone.
Okay, where were they last?
Here, right before I spent them on that vacation to Aruba.
Weird. Not weird. Not saving now means no money later. For free ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
With the SRN News Business Brief, I'm George Bonzani. U.S. trade negotiators are back in China for an eighth round.
Ambassador Lighthizer and myself are pleased to be back here in Beijing. We look forward to productive meetings.
That's Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin. Today is the second round of trade talks. Officials are hinting they may be making progress on the important issue of China's technology ambitions. Britain's Prime Minister May hopes for that elusive third vote in Parliament today for her Brexit deal. This one is said to be a trimmed-down version of the one that's been twice rejected. Parliament's Speaker of the House up to now has blocked a third try. Wells Fargo's Chief Executive Tim Sloan is stepping down. Ride company Lyft has an IPO on NASDAQ today with a suggested opening price of $72 a share. Uber poised to follow. Yesterday's S&P up 10, Dow up 92, NASDAQ picking up 26. With SRN Business, I'm George Bonzani.
Welcome back to Rogue Talk, and that break went by a little faster than I was expecting. We were having a good time talking here in the studio. But before we're going to talk a little Major League Baseball, just because we can. But before we get to that, see what I did with my... Let's get the upcoming schedule for the Chieftain Sports coming up. Let's go back to baseball and softball. The baseball team... On Tuesday, April 2nd, we'll be at Butte Falls for a 4:30 start. And then on April 5th, which is next to Friday, they will be right here on 94.3 The Bridge for a doubleheader against Hidden Valley. That will start at 2 o'clock, which, yes, that means Rogue Talk will be preempted next week by doubleheader baseball. And again, we'll have that doubleheader right here on the bridge. But our next game on the bridge will be softball. That'll be coming up also on Tuesday the 2nd, also against Butte Falls. So we will have softball coming up on the bridge on Tuesday. That is also at 4:30. And then while we are covering the boys' doubleheader on Friday, the girls will be playing a doubleheader also against Hidden Valley, also starting at 2 o'clock. Now that my notes are all out of order, let's see if I can find the next track and field. Track and field coming up next. They have meets in Coquille and in Brookings, and I think I wrote these down wrong. They have meets on the 5th and the 6th. I think I wrote the 7th, but they don't have a meet on a Sunday. So, but they've got back-to-back meets coming up, and of course, we'll bring you all the results from that. And let's see if I can find my golf. The golf, their next event is Monday, April 1st. That will be at 1 o'clock, and they will be hosting that tournament at Laurel Hills Golf Club. Again, 1 o'clock on Monday. So if you can take part of the day off on Monday, head out to Laurel Hills, and we got some pretty good players on that golf team, and go out there and support those kids. So that's it for the upcoming events. So let's get the other microphones turned on. I've got Hunter Arnsdorf, my intern, here with me. He's our baseball expert. And Justin hung around because he loves baseball, and he said he doesn't know as much about Major League Baseball. And I said, well, good, you'll fit right in, because neither do I. But we were just talking about the different teams. Justin, you're an Indians fan. Tell me why you're an Indians fan.
Because of my grandma.
Grandma was an Indians fan.
That's
well,
right.
that's a good reason. Despite my grandmother being a Giants fan like Hunter, I'm an A's fan, so so we were taking a look at the season. The Dodgers had a pretty good start to the season. Hunter, what were they doing yesterday?
They hit eight home runs,
and did they win that game? I hope.
Yes.
Who'd they beat?
The Diamondbacks.
No. Did they beat the Diamondbacks or the Rangers? I thought they played the Rangers. It was Diamondbacks.
Yes.
Okay, so 8 home runs on opening day. That's pretty good. Of course, Hunter and I were watching a little highlight video a little earlier They had 48 home runs on opening day yesterday. So it was a I don't think they broke any records, but that's a pretty prolific opening day. So now a lot of people listening to this show are probably Mariners fans. I'm not sure why you would be, but I'm sure some of them are. And they took on the World Series champ Red Sox yesterday, and they had a pretty good day, 12-4. And Hunter, who's the probably the best hitters there for the Mariners right now? Don't know, huh? I don't either. That's why I asked you. But yeah, I don't follow the Mariners. I admit it. They're our closest local team, technically, I guess. It's close though. They're pretty far away. Seattle's not that close. But I don't follow the Mariners. I, in fact, I don't follow anything north of Rogue River. I'm a I'm a Bay Area kid. I hate to admit. But, well, so let's get to my team, the Oakland A's. They were 0-2 going into opening day because the Mariners beat them in Japan two games straight. But they their pitchers combined for a three-hit shutout and beat the Angels. And Chris Davis, one of the top home run hitters in the league, had a his second home run of the season yesterday. So they're going to inch their way back to 500. Tell us about your Giants. They didn't do so good yesterday.
No, they did not. They allowed two runs.
Allowed two runs, and Mad Bum pitched that game. Actually pitched a pretty decent game. He only gave up two runs on five hits through seven innings, which in most days would get you a win. But unfortunately, he had to face the youngest rookie in 20 years, Fernando Tatis Jr. Tatis went 2-for-3, but the Giant fans took a little bit of solace in yesterday's game because Manny Machado, the newest player on the San Diego Padres, was hitless. So that was good news, huh, Hunter?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. So now there's some other guys that changed teams, and one team in particular was the Philadelphia Phillies. Who were some of the guys that moved over to the Phillies?
One of mine knows Bryce Harper and McCutcheon.
Yeah, McCutcheon and Harper. McCutcheon had a pretty good day. Harper was hitless. And they've added a couple more veteran guys, and that's going to be a team to contend with this season. They beat up the Braves 10-4 yesterday, so that was a pretty good win for them. So, Justin, what do you think it was that made your grandma follow the Indians?
She's just an avid baseball fan, and she's actually from Ohio.
Okay,
and so she's big on home team there. So
now, of course, the Indians, most people probably know the Indians because of the movie Major League, because that was the team
that's a good movie.
They portrayed in that movie. It is an excellent movie. So, and we used to, you know, when I was watching a lot of baseball back in the 80s and 90s, we'd always compare guys on the current team to the guys from the Major League movie. You know, Willie Mays Hayes and
the Wild Man,
and yeah, and the Wild Thing, yeah, was Charlie Sheen.
That's right.
Played that part. Yeah, and Serrano, the guy that had he'd drink the rum and he'd pray to his little, I forget what the guy is. Guy, I forget
sacrifice
the name now.
Chicken.
Yeah. They asked him if he's going to sacrifice a chicken, and yeah. So that those were the days I was following baseball, but trying to get back into it here. It's a little different game. I mean, they've changed some of the rules. They've talked about the pitch. Are they using the pitch clock, Hunter, or was that just something they tried out?
I think it's something they tried out.
So, the pitch clock, trying to get the games moving faster, intentional walks, you don't have to throw the pitches anymore. I hate that rule because there's a lot of games where a mistake was made on the intentional walk where they threw a ball away and a run comes home to score from third or something. I think they should have to throw those pitches. I don't care about the time that it takes to throw four pitches. It's, I don't like that rule. The pitch clock, yeah, I get it. You know, you got these guys. You got the Nomar Garcia Parras that every single pitch, they step out of the box and adjust every part of their uniform, their gloves, their hat, their belt, and, you know, I could maybe get behind the pitch clock. Was there any other changes, you know, they were looking at? I know they've been talking about shortening the game, but I don't know. I'm a baseball purist. Leave it alone.
I'm with you.
I would almost even be in favor of getting rid of the designated hitter, although I get it. I understand it. But I kind of like making the pitchers hit myself. It adds a little wrinkle to the game.
Old school baseball.
Yeah, absolutely. But again, I'm an American League fan, so I'm okay with the DH. But if they got rid of it, I don't know that I'd lose too many tears over that. So, well, it's a great week because baseball started and there's no better sport. Baseball is still where my heart is, even though, you know, I'm involved with other sports. But baseball and softball are my favorites. So it's a great week. Justin, all the best for your team. I hope we can find you some more support and some more sponsorship. And thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for having us.
And Hunter, thanks for coming in again today.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. And everybody be good to one another because Rogue Talk is over.
You've been listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge. Listen to Rogue Talk with Jeff Smith, Fridays at 3 p.m. right here on Rogue River's Hometown Voice. 94.3 The Bridge. Or on demand at 943thebridge.com.